Amos chapter number 3, if you would. I was not planning on preaching this. I was studying actually in something else, and during the Sunday school hour, the Lord impressed my heart that I need to look at these verses and preach from this passage this morning, and I trust God will use it for His honor and for His glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Love to hear those pages turning. Amen. Let them turn in your life all the time, and God will use that. Amen. All right, Amos chapter number 3, if you'd like to stand in reverence to the Scripture. Let's start in verse number 1. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth, and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. Again, we have a reference to the lion, verse 4, and then again, verse 8. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Publish in the places at Ashdod, in the palaces of Ashdod, in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. And thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in that day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. Let's remain standing for prayer. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would help us here this morning to convey, Lord, your heart, your direction, Lord, for this service. And Lord, I pray for the anointing oil of God, the fresh oil, God, that makes preaching effective and powerful and challenging. And I pray, dear God, the drawing power of the Lord will be in this place. We pray, dear Father, that you will deal with every lost person in the service. Lord, many of which sitting here this morning, Lord, we prayed for by name in the prayer service last night. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to work a work that only you can do. And then, Lord, we pray, Father, for the saints of God, that you will help us also to be attentive to the Word of God today. Lord, help me, I pray, bring to my mind the things that I need to see and say and preach here this morning. Lord, I realize the energy and the effort and the labor of a man will not get the job done. Lord, we need the touch of God. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Fill me today, I pray, with your power. Fill me with your Holy Ghost. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you. And stir us up, oh God. We are on the last leg of the journey. Lord, we've done round of the corner. We're in the home stretch. God, help us, Lord, to not quit now. Help us to not give up now, to get slack now. Lord, I pray, help us, Lord, to go into that kick mode of giving it all we got. Lord, we can rest after we cross the finish line. Have your way today, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned a moment ago, the Lord impressed my heart during the Sunday school hour, in fact, to go to this passage of Scripture and to preach therefrom. I've never preached from this passage. This Scripture is not foreign to this church. We've had this church, this Scripture exposed to us before, and we're going to have it exposed to us again this morning. But the passage that's really got my attention is in verse number 12. And thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed and in Damascus in a couch. And we know in this passage of Scripture that there is a prophetical interpretation involved in this passage, as Amos is one of the minor prophets, and he's not referred to as a minor prophet because of what he's saying is less important than what Isaiah, Jeremiah, or Ezekiel said, and they are referenced as the major prophets. It's not a matter of value, it's a matter of volume. It's called a minor prophet because it's shorter in comparison to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and so on. But as we look at this passage, God is dealing with the transgression of His people. And you can believe that God will deal with the transgression of His people. He really will. We see that time and again with Israel. But there's a prophetical interpretation given in light of what is taking place here of the very small remnant of Israel that would be saved from the destruction of the northern kingdom. The Assyrians will ransack Israel, and leaving only fragments behind, only leaving the remnant of their former prosperity, just pieces, as verse number 12 talks about, just pieces left, as called two pieces, two legs and a piece of an ear. And so, and you can study the path of Israel through the Old Testament, and you can see time and again where they would get right with God, God would bless them. They would get away from God, God would raise up an enemy and send them in, and they would go into bondage, and it looked like Israel wouldn't survive, but then all of a sudden, you know, they would repent and get right with God, and next thing you know, God's moving and they're you know, in Israel again, and all of that. But I also noticed something I want to labor on this morning. Not only do I see a prophetical interpretation, but I see a practical and personal application. And that is that there is a lion on the loose. He's loud, and he's looking. And Peter exposes who that lion is. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's his intention. That's his goal. He doesn't want to bless your life. He wants to devour your life. The only time that it seems that there's a prosperity in sin, the only time that it seems that a sinner prospers in wickedness, is because the devil is using them at that point for his own promotion, for his own advancement of his cause. But when you're all washed up, and when you're all done for, and you're really of no more benefit to him, destruction and a devouring intent is in the heart of the devil for your life. Amen. And sin will never be your friend. Mark it down. Sin will never be your friend. And so I'm just going to use what's found in verse number 12 as our thought message title this morning, Two Legs and a Piece of an Ear. Two legs and a piece of an ear. And I want us to look at that. And here's the first thing that I want us to look at, and I want to get on with it because I want to try to cover all of this if I possibly can this morning. The first thing that I noticed as I meditated upon verse number 12 and have spent a lot of time, actually weeks, looking at this, meditating on it, not knowing when or where that I would ever preach this message. But here this morning is time. God said, I want that preached this morning. So, Lord, let it fall where it will. Amen. And may God use it for His honor and His glory. But the first thing that I want you to see that God spoke to my heart about, it's very apparent in verse number 12, is the mutilating appetite of the lion. The mutilating appetite of the lion. How many remembers from just a few minutes ago who the lion is? Don't forget that. And he's looking, he's on the loose, and he's loud. He's roaring, and he's got your worst interest in mind. God's got your best interest. The devil has your worst interest in mind. But it shows us here in verse number 12 that in the mouth of the lion, and that's usually the only thing that's to be feared about the lion, really is his mouth. His roar, his bite, the grip of his teeth and of his jaws. Once he ever gets a hold, usually there's nothing survives that. And I want to expose the lion this morning. If I could, for a few minutes, I want to expose him. I want to expose his mouth. I want to let you know this morning that the lion, listen, has strength. He is one of the most feared, even in our world. The lion is one of the most feared of all the animal kingdom. In fact, it's called the king of the beast. The lion is referred to. So you don't play games with a lion. Dear Center Free, if you're here today lost, listen, you don't play games with the ferocious, the fearful lion that we know of called the devil. Amen. But he has strength. In fact, he's stronger than you. You are no match for him. You said, but I can handle it, preacher. I'm just planning on going so far. I'm just planning on doing so much. And I'm really not planning on winding up in the mouth of the lion. And I'm certainly not planning on winding up to where there's nothing left but two legs and a piece of an ear. I'm really not going that far. How many has already said that in life? How many do you know that said that in life? Or at least live like they would have said that, but yet look at the end result. Look at the consequences. Look at the outcome. If ever, listen, I thought about this coming up the road yesterday. If sin's wages were paid instantly, nobody would be living that lifestyle. But sin's wages many times doesn't come until way down the way. Amen. Then it comes in and everybody that gets that paycheck don't want to cash it. Everybody that gets the wages of sin wished 1,000 times over that they could go back and be unemployed in that lifestyle. Say amen right there. Why? Because of the mutilating appetite of the lion. All you are this morning, all I am this morning is prey to the enemy. All I am this morning is food to the enemy this morning. Oh, yes. The lion has strength. The lion has stealth. He never moves around announcing his intentions. He never moves around and very visible and exposing his intent. No, he moves slithering around and sneaking around and using objects to hide his presence and his prowling around in your life. And actually what he's doing, he's setting up an attack zone. He's looking for you to be vulnerable. He's looking for, amen, that pride. that precise place in your life that he can attack. So he's a lion that has strength. He's a lion that has stealth. And I want to say this, thank God for parents that will expose the lion to their children. Thank God for that. Thank God for those at church will expose the lion to those around them. Thank God for a preacher that will point out where the lion is and point out his intention. And amen, I feel a witness this morning. Thank God for the preacher, but not many preachers are doing that around the country our day because it's not popular to do some lion preaching. Amen, it's not popular to talk about the devouring intent of the lion. That's not popular, but what do we need to hear? We need to hear that. We need to be aware of it. I've been saved 36 years this coming January the 20th. And you know what? He still would love to put his teeth on me. He'd still love to devour me to where when you would talk about Preacher Rackley, you would only talk about what's left of him, of a ministry that had been devoured, that only two legs and a piece of an ear is left. But he uses stealth to accomplish that. He wants to fly under the radar of your detection. Say amen right there. God help us, that's right. But let me move on. Not only is he one of strength and stealth, but he's also one of sight. I want to tell you, the eye of the lion is real close to the mouth of the lion, and the eye can see even in the dark. Are you listening? In fact, the lion many times will hunt at night, Brother J.R., because he likes to use the disguise and the cover-up of the lack of light. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. The devil wants to work in your life as well as in mine to try to eliminate as much light as possible. Thy word is light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The very entrance of thy word giveth light. The devil wants to work darkness in your life and in your home. Why? To bring about a disguise and a plot and a plan for the enemy to move in for the kill. He has sight. Amen. But there's three things that I want us to see right here about the mutilating appetite of the lion. The first thing that I see is the diet of the lion. I think we ought to take note this morning that the lion loves feeding on lambs. So, preach, I'm saved. I'm a sheep. I'm in the fold. Oh, you're a target. The lion loves leg of lamb. The lion loves lamb chops. You can believe that. If you are in the family of God, then you are a target. And then let me say this as well about the lion is after the lamb. As what was talked about here, that there was just two legs and a piece of an ear that was left. Amen. That tells us that the lion is after that which is vulnerable, that which is weak, and that which is small, and that which is frail. Oh, yes. And you've watched enough animal shows, we all probably have, to where you know, and I don't know, but I like watching that stuff. Where there's attack and capture and catching and all that kind of gory stuff, amen. But I like that. But I've noticed that a lot of times when a lion is, or even anything in that breed, they always are looking for that stray. They're always looking for that stray, or they're looking for that one that's lagging way back behind, or they're looking for that one that is showing and exhibiting some weakness. Oh, I should have added another one. Just come to mind about the lion. He not only has that strength and stealth and sight, but he also has smell. And amen. A lion can smell a kill a long ways. A lion can smell sickness. A lion can detect weakness in a lamb or in lunch, if you will, or in the prey long before that it's ever even visible. And that's the one that they will pinpoint. That's the one that the lion will. He said, I don't want the whole herd. I don't want the whole flock. I'll just take that one. Amen. God help us this morning about the diet of the lion to learn some things. Amen. He has death and destruction. He feeds on that. He feeds on that. He has a devouring appetite, as our verse very clearly shows. He feeds on lambs and sheep. The thing that is feared most about a lion is his mouth. Not just, and you know, sometimes just the roar of the lion. The roar of the lion, not the bite, not the actual being in the mouth devouring. You know, destructivity of it, but just the roar of it. And listen, I've got ears, and you've got ears. And I'll tell you what I am so prone to do is, am I listening for the shepherd? Am I listening for the shepherd's voice? A lot of times I'm tuned in to the roar. The roar of, you're not going to make it. The roar of, you're about done. Or the roar of, you might as well quit. Oh, and we could spend 30 minutes talking about what you and I have probably heard the lion roar in your ears. And I've heard his roar, but the thing that is to be feared most about the lion concerning the diet is his mouth. I know a second thing about the mutilating appetite of the lion, not only the diet of the lion, but also the development of the lion. They're not born full grown. The lion starts out little in your life and not really a major threat, but then he develops, and the more he feeds, the bigger he gets, and amen. And so let's know a little bit about the development of the lion as it grows in size. And he grows in ability. He grows in his hunting skills. Not only does he grow in his development, he also, in developing and growing and getting bigger, he develops the ability to reproduce and produce other lions. But there is the development of the lion, and then the destructivity of the lion is seen in our text by the fact that there wasn't nothing left, and that was still in his mouth, and that was two legs and a piece of an ear. The destructivity of the lion is clearly seen here. You look around in our world, in fact, you don't have to look far, and you can see the destructivity of sin and the destructivity of the lion in our right here in Hawkins County. You can see the destructivity of addictions right here in Hawkins County. You can see, and I've talked to one of the funeral home directors or owners here in town, and they've told me story after story of people that have brought them business, if you will, that had went through the ringer of a sin-scarred and devoured life. Oh, yes. But there's the destructivity of the lion that is seen here. And he stops at nothing. Amen, that's right. No love involved. No mercy involved. No grace involved. The lion will not show you none of those three. He only cares about his own survival and purpose and advancement of his cause. He kills today because he wants to be alive to kill tomorrow. And he kills tomorrow and feeds and devours and all of that. But then he goes on to kill again. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's the intent of the enemy. He cares nothing about you. He don't mind hurting you. He does not mind breaking your heart. He does not mind filling your eyes with tears. Why? Because his whole gear is destruction. Just because you're a lamb, just because you're a sheep, just because you're little, amen, doesn't mean that the lion cannot do his intention and his business with you. So we've talked a little bit this morning about the mutilating appetite of the lion. And I hope that sinks in deep, because that's true today, and it'll be true tomorrow, it'll be true next week, and it'll be true the month after and the year after. 20 years from today, if Jesus hasn't come, the destructivity of the lion will still be needing to be preached. But let's move on secondly to a second thing I see in this verse. Not only do I see the mutilating appetite of that lion, but I see the mindless apathy of the lamb. The mindless apathy of the lamb. In other words, lamb and sheep, they always are known, amen, I'm one, for being dumb. Sheep in the scripture, sheep by nature, really don't think well. Amen. In fact, you take the shepherd away from them, and their life is going to be short-lived. I'm glad it's that way, that I depend on him. Amen. But there's the mindless apathy of the lamb, meaning the lamb, a lamb is very naive to danger. Danger can be close by. Danger can be roaring in the distance or even nearby. But the lamb, it doesn't think much about that. Boy, I've seen people in the ministry, Brother Fultz, I'm sure you have as well, but I've seen people in the ministry, and I can see the destructivity of the lion. I can see that appetite of the lion. I can see, because sin has a pattern with it. Amen. If I see how the lion worked over here in this family, amen, I can tell if the lion is working in this family. If I seen the lion work on this teenager, I can know how he's going to work over here on this teenager. And so I can take the pattern and point out of the path of the lion. Oh, yes. But listen, I want to tell people, and I do preaching, and I do in person sometimes tell people, you know, in a roundabout way, these words, the line is close. The line is moving in. The line is setting you up for a lunch. Amen. You're going to be devoured. It's not going to be a good outcome. And you can tell. You can tell they don't think. I've even been the guilty one of not thinking. I've been the guilty one. Have you? Oh, yes. Being naive and mindless in my apathy, and the devil wreaking havoc in my spiritual life. And I'm not even acting like I'm aware of it. God help us. The lamb really doesn't act with good sense toward the enemy. They have been observed as even touching noses. Lambs, I'm talking about back when I preached years ago on the wolves. I read this, that they, of course, under observation from a distance, noticed that there was a time that a wolf kept moving in gradually, very ever so slowly and gradually toward the flock. He wouldn't make the big move, but he would just move a little closer today and a little closer tomorrow and then a little closer the next day. And that report I read said they actually witnessed the wolf nose touching the nose of that lamb. What about that? Naive. No sense of danger. Thinking nothing about the destructive intents of the enemy. The lamb is more prone to think this, oh, it won't happen to me. It's not going to happen to me. We know that the lion is already, listen, you think this is the first lamb that the lion had? No, it's a process. It's a pattern. You can predict it. Amen. We've all been witnesses and know, and we've seen people that once sat on church pews that are not today because of the devouring of the lion. God help us. It won't happen to me. You're probably next. To him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Thinking nothing about the many sheep and lamb that had already disappeared from the fold. Thinking nothing about those that had already been devoured by sin. Oh, goodness. Lord, help us this morning, Jesus. Oh, yes. And never really wondering whatever happened to them. Wonder what led them to get out of church. Wonder what was working in the background. Wonder what was behind the scenes for them to have gotten out of the house of the Lord. We ought to think those thoughts. We ought to learn. Listen, if I can study how the lion got somebody else, I ought to study that to make sure it don't happen to me. Amen. But there's the mindless apathy of the lamb. And let me move on. I want to deal with a couple of things here before I move on. I seen in this, and the Lord showed this to me. I was riding down the road, just meditating on this, and the Lord showed me these things, and I just grabbed something real quick and pinned down some things. I noticed what is not said in this passage. And then I noticed what is said in this passage. What is not said is that it doesn't talk about the removed parts. All it is talking about is the remaining parts. The removed parts. What are the removed parts that's already talked about or not talked about? I noticed the head is already gone. The head is not referenced here. It's gone. What does that refer to? Your thought life. Your thinking. The devil can get your thinking. He's got your living. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The head is gone. I noticed this. Two other legs are already gone. What does that mean? Two legs left, they're in the lion's mouth. The other two's not even referenced. They're already gone. What's that? Your balance. As a lamb has four legs, two's already gone and two's in the lion's mouth. The devil is after our thinking by attacking our thoughts. He's after our legs, our balance, and our walk. The feet, the legs talk about your walk, your mobility, your moving, your advancing, your following the shepherd, if you will. So there, the head was not mentioned. It's already gone. The two legs was already mentioned and it's already gone. The heart is not mentioned. The heart is not mentioned. It's gone. How many of us in here know the devil's after our heart? Amen. Listen, we need to guard our heart. Or as Proverbs 4:23 says it very plainly, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The devil knows if I can get your heart, I've got your desires. If I can get your heart, I've got your affection. If I've got your heart, listen, I've got your will. And amen. And he can do whatever then. But I notice here the heart's not mentioned. The affection, the desires is already gone. You better watch your heart. I better watch mine, Sister Hayes, because when I start losing heart, I am on dangerous ground. God help us. And I've noticed that many times in my Christian life. I've noticed that many times in my preaching life of losing heart. Boy, you can sing in the choir the words, hold the book and nod the head and raise the hand or whatever, and your heart not be in it. You can preach. Listen, preachers in the house, you can preach and your heart not be in it. And I've seen this so many times in my own life. If it's what I'm preaching is not doing anything in my heart, it will not do anything in the heart of the listener. So if I get up here and all I do is go through a little rut and a routine, a little ritual, amen, give 2 points in a poem and it was cold and heartless and burdenless and amen, there was nothing working in my heart, you can count on it, friend. It didn't do nothing in the pews. And when a preacher, of course I'm talking about me, when a preacher starts losing heart, He's in dangerous territory. When you start losing heart, you're in dangerous territory. I got to go. I got to hurry. The head was not mentioned. Two legs were not mentioned. The heart was not mentioned. Watch this. One of the ears was not mentioned. Actually, one whole ear was already gone, and part of the last ear was already gone to where there wasn't nothing left but just a piece of that one. What does that represent? My listening, my hearing. How important is hearing in the Bible? My sheep hear my voice. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, James said, be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. One, I'm talking about removed parts. That's what we're talking about right now. In this mindless apathy of the lamb led to these parts being removed. One ear and part of another. I noticed this. The mouth was gone. Wasn't no mention, Brother J.R., of the mouth. What is that? Your witness. You're testifying. Amen. Speaking up, speaking out for the Lord. Could it be that the mouth being gone could be your prayer life? No praying. No communication. Hey, I'm trying to show you, listen, when you're apathetic and just nonchalant about the fact that there's a lion on the loose and he has a record, my friend, of destruction and devouring of multitudes of people from the Garden of Eden to the present day. The mouth was not mentioned. I'll tell you something else the mouth represents, feeding. When you cease to feed, the devil's gun devoured your mouth and you cease to feed and you don't feed. How long's it been? Don't answer out loud, but in your own heart. How long's it been since you fed on the word of God? Could it be the devil's already after you, already about to get your mouth, already got your mouth? Let me move on. There's something else that's missing. How many knows what it is? No eyes are mentioned. Just two legs, a piece of an ear, no eyes are mentioned. The lion's done got them. What's that? That's your focus. That's your vision. That's your ability to see. Amen. Amen. How many times have you heard people say this or thought this? Well, I don't see what's wrong with that. I don't see why the preacher preaches against that. I don't see why mom and daddy's so upset about that. Hey, they may be seeing something you don't see. They may listen because they're older than you, and I found out the older I get, the smarter daddy is. And he's been gone since 07. He's in heaven. But growing up, Brother McCarricker, growing up, I thought, Daddy, man, you just ain't with it. He'd point out line tracks in my life. He'd point out things in my life. He didn't say these words, but this was the gist of it. These are line tracks right here. And this is the effort, and the line's getting close, and the line's making an effort in your life. And he would have took me to hell. The devil would have took me to hell if it hadn't have been for my mother that was unwilling to accept the thought that my boy is going to hell. Son. Thank God for mama. Hey, man. When it looked like I was hopeless, when it looked like there was not much left but maybe a couple of pieces of a leg and a piece of an ear of my life because of stupid, ignorant choices on my part. When I was being foolish, mama was being faithful. When I was out playing the foolish life, mama was still praying. Mama was still believing God. Mama was still fasting and praying over me and was unwilling for her son to go to hell. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Everybody else had probably about wrote me off, but not mama. And mama's words to me that day at work was over the phone was, and I'm 20 years old now. Listen, got my own truck and own car and everything. And she said to me, I didn't bring you through my womb for you to die and go to hell. I found out where you were staying, and I've done went and got all your stuff and brought it to the house. And when you get off work, you come on home. Hallelujah. Thank God for a mother that had some grit. amen, as a mother that had some determination that I'm not letting the lion get my boy. Amen to God. The eyes were gone. No mention of the eyes. The vision was gone. Oh, mercy. Here's two things. This is two things that goes through the scripture. It's a trail through the scripture. And that's sin and blindness. Sin and blindness. Amen. Oh, God help us. The removed parts. And then there's the remaining parts. And I'm sure there's probably some other things we could have mentioned, you know, that were no longer there. But there's the remaining parts. This ought to give you hope. This ought to let you know there may be pieces left. But there's hope for you. There's only two legs. And I studied that out, two legs there. Actually is referring to just simply the lower parts of the legs. It wasn't the whole leg. It was just from the knee joint down, which is basically useless because all it is a bone with skin mostly. And the piece of an ear, there wasn't nothing left but a piece of an ear. And it said, as I studied that was only cartilage. So in other words, what was left really was useless. Just bone, a little piece of bone, and cartilage. But thank God, hallelujah. I'm about to get ahead of myself right here. I'm glad there's a shepherd, hallelujah, that's willing to go after what the world would say is useless and just give up on it. It's just a bone and a piece of a cartilage. Don't even fool with it. Oh, the shepherd said, oh no, I'm not letting the lion. The lion's already got their ears and eyes and head and mouth and two legs and amen, one ear. I'm not allowing him to completely devour them. I'm going after the lion and I'm going to deliver. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When there's fragments left. So we've noticed the mutilating appetite of the enemy or the lion. We've noticed the mindless apathy of the lamb. But I have got to get on this one. If we quit now, Miss Hayes, it's a bad story. It's a sad story. But I'm glad there's another party playing in this picture. Woo, amen. Another one playing in the picture. Can we identify him in our text? Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear. Thank God for the shepherd. And so my third and last point today is the merciful ability of the Lord. The merciful ability of the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:17, Paul said these words. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all of the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Don't get too excited about that. We have 14 books of the New Testament written by that man that made that statement. He said, I was delivered out of the lion's mouth, or the mouth of the lion. He said, I was delivered. In fact, I read verse 17, but if you'll go back to the previous verse, Paul said these words, all men forsook me. Hey, lost person, listen, that's the way your friends will do you. When the lion is coming around and devouring your life, amen, and destroying your life to where there's nothing left but pieces, look around at your buddies. Where are they? Are they fighting the lion? Are they trying to scare the lion off? Nope. They're just going on their way to the next party. Are you listening? They're just going to the next party. But I'm glad there's one, hallelujah, that wasn't willing to look away. He wasn't willing to walk off. He wasn't willing to disregard and say, well, that's a hopeless life. They've done shot their life. There's nothing left but a bone and a piece of cartilage. No, thank God for the shepherd that's willing to go and literally deliver from the mouth of the lion the fragments that was left. Psalms 22 and verse 21, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Save me from the lion's mouth. He said, preacher, what do you got to say about the shepherd? The first thing that stuck out to me was the sympathy of the shepherd. Brother Carroll, the shepherd doesn't say to the two legs and piece of an ear that's left, just some couple bones and a piece of cartilage, it's good enough for you. You should have listened to me. I tried to warn you. I'm glad it's not that way, Brother Jeter. I'd be a has-been if that'd been the case. But I'm glad there was sympathy in the heart of the shepherd. Amen. Oh, though there was nothing attractive, hey, is there anything attractive about two little pieces of bone for amen and a little piece of cartilage? Is that attractive? Is that appealing? If you're here today and you're lost without God, you might say to the Lord, I have nothing. I am nothing. My life is ravaged with sin. I have nothing left. There's nothing attractive. There's nothing appealing. But the shepherd is not looking at what you are. The shepherd is looking at what he can make you to be. Woo! Oh, I just saw something else right here. You know one thing that drove that shepherd? Oh, yeah. It wasn't just his sympathy over, you know, the mutilated parts and, you know, the fragments of a shattered life. No, you know what was? It was, I don't want the lion to win. I don't want the lion to even think he's won. Hey, man, that's right. Oh, boy. There's the sympathy of the shepherd. Two legs and a piece of an ear. There's always left. And you may say, preach, I don't have much. I'm not much. There's not much left. It don't matter. As long as there's a little piece of bone, a little piece of cartilage left of your life, Jesus, the good shepherd, will say, I'll take that. Thank God. Hey, all of us in here wasn't born on a gold platter. Hey, we wasn't born on no street of gold. I'll tell you what we are. We're products of grace. Many of us was in the lion's mouth. Many of us already had most of our life shattered. Most of us already had the teeth prints of the lion in various areas of our life. But thank God for the shepherd, amen, that was willing to come to where we was. Take on the lion, amen. Not be afraid of the lion's mouth. Glory to God, amen. Oh, yes. There's the sympathy. Secondly, there's the superiority of the shepherd. The lamb is no match for the lion, right? But the lion is no match for the shepherd. Hey, man. Y'all excuse me for getting happy. When the king of the jungle met up with the king of kings, I give you one guess as the outcome. Hallelujah. It may have a roar. And he may have a bite and he may be feared, but I want to tell you the King of Kings was not afraid, hallelujah, to tackle and to tangle with the lion, and he did so at Calvary, hallelujah, and won the victory for us. The superiority of the shepherd. Hallelujah. I don't know if I can preach this without busting a gut, but I want to tell you this right here. Blesses me when I talk about the superiority of the shepherd. The lion, Brother Brad, is not afraid of no other beast that I'm aware of. And you think about the animal kingdom. You think about how many prospects or potential threats might could be to the lion. He's not afraid of none of them. You know the only thing a lion is afraid of? And don't get ahead of me when I say this. The only thing a lion is afraid of is another lion. Woo! Can I say I feel something on that? You say, what in the world are you talking about? Let me just read it to you. Revelations 5 and verse number 4. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Verse 5. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. I want to tell you, the lion is not afraid of me, but the lion is afraid of another lion, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, amen. Glory. Woo, amen. When the lamb cannot say, I got this, but rather the lamb says, I have been got, the Lion of the tribe of the Judah steps upon the scene. And he didn't come out to check out what's going on. He come to take over. And what still gets me was that what he showed up for was just fragments and pieces. Goodness. In case you hadn't read it in a while, Jesus Christ came, God incarnate, to this world for pieces and fragments. I read it this morning. In fact, I thought about it, was planning to preach that this morning, where Jesus said he didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Jesus had sinners and publicans eating with him. And the Pharisee said, what is your master doing eating with this crowd? And Jesus said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You know who Jesus come down here for? Sick. You know who he come down here for? Sinners. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost? He's after you. Whoa, glory to God, that's good. Hallelujah. I love it. Not only the sympathy of the shepherd, the superiority of the shepherd, the steadfastness of the shepherd. It does not say in our text how long he looked, but he looked long enough till he found the lion and the pieces that was in its mouth. We have a good scripture on that in Luke 15. We have a good example of that. When the lamb, you know, got out of the flock, how long did Jesus look for it? Here's a good key word in Luke 15, until he found it. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I don't know who it was that sings that. I'm glad he didn't give up on me. I'm glad he didn't give up on me. I didn't get saved the first time he dealt with me. Are you listening? How many in here got saved the first time he dealt with you? Just a very small number, 4, 5, 6 maybe. How many of us got saved the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth time, whatever he dealt with? Look at that. Look at that. I'm glad for his steadfastness. He may not have found you in this holler. He may not have found you on this mountain. He may not have found you in this wilderness, but thank God he was willing to say, I'm going on. I'm going to keep on. I'm going on. I'm not turning around. I'm not giving up. And he stayed on your trail. He stayed on your path. Amen. The steadfastness of the shepherd. And then last, the salvation of the shepherd. In the text, we have a destroyer, but also in the text, we have a deliverer. Amen. Hallelujah, I like that. And he was the shepherd, he is the shepherd. The shepherd is really interested. I want you to listen to this. The shepherd is really interested in what's left of a ravaged life. And I want to say something right here in closing. You don't have to go that far. I want to say this to all of us. You don't have to go that far to where there's nothing left but just a couple of pieces of bone and a little piece of cartilage. You don't have to go that far. And certainly do not presume upon the grace of God to say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do my little thing with sin here, and I'm going to just kind of go through this life and life of sin, you know. And there may not be nothing left at the end, but Jesus will take it. Don't presume upon the grace of God. That is, if a person does think that, to say that, that's the voice of a foolish person. They would say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do my thing, and I'm going to go ahead and play around with the lion and let the lion, you know, pretty much devour me. But in the end, I'll turn it and Jesus will take it. Why would you want to give him pieces? Why would you want to give him pieces? Stay clean. Young people, you that's never been out there, don't think for a second, I need to get out there so I can have a testimony. That's foolishness. That's foolishness, bud. That's that roar of the lion. Get away from your shepherd. Get away from your shepherd. Get away from the fold. Get away from the flock. Get out there where you're all alone. And the lion's out there waiting. The lion's out there waiting. Amen. Oh, my. You ought to just go ahead and cheat the lion. Before you ever get in his mouth, get in the hands of the shepherd. Before you ever get in his mouth, go ahead and get saved by the grace of God. That's a good word to you if you've not been saved. If you've not been saved and you're young, amen, get saved as soon as you can. But also there's a good note right here for those that have been in the lion's mouth. Or maybe are in the lion's mouth, or headed toward the lion's mouth, and listen, there's hope for you right here. You have a shepherd, Jesus Christ, that's willing to work mightily in your life and to save you. Amen. I've met a lot of people in life that's been saved. A lot of people. I've never met one yet that got saved young. That said, you know what? I really wished I hadn't got saved so young. I wished I'd have waited till I'd explored and experimented with sin a little bit before I got saved. Never heard one say that. But now I have heard many, and I'll just use that word because there's no way that I could even guess at a number of people that I've heard give testimony on the other end. Give testimony from the mouth side. The lion side, and they give testimony. You know what? I wished I'd have gotten saved at 6, 7, 8 years old. I wished I'd have gotten saved early in life. Brother Ron's back there shaking his head. Got saved at 71, was it? 71 years old. Brother Ron got saved at 71. He's back there shaking his head. I wished I'd have gotten saved early in life to where I would have escaped the scars. I would, listen, hey, the indication of this passage is that lamb, Miss June, was alive when the lion was ripping it to shreds. Did you know the message really of the Bible about sin and the devil is that he will eat you alive? Sin will eat you alive. Oh, preacher, I can handle it. Don't be foolish. There's never been one yet that's handled it. And there's been multiplied billions and billions and trillions of people that's went through this planet, and nobody's handled it yet. You're not going to be the first. Realize because the shepherd is superior to the lion, there's hope for you. There's salvation for you. Amen. I want to say it again, though. Even though they're, listen, and you may know some people. You may know family members, work associates. You may know relatives. Listen, that the lion is devouring their life, and you may want to send them this message. I don't know. But to let them know, the shepherd is still looking, and he's still trailing, and he's still after even what's just fragments. Nothing appealing, nothing attractive about it, but yet Jesus is willing to take it. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. I want to thank you today, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Saving me from sin. Saving me, Lord, from the lion's mouth. Saving me, Lord, even though there was Lord, I was well on my way of being devoured, and there wasn't a whole lot left of me. But Lord, I want to thank you that as the good shepherd, chief shepherd, Lord, I thank you today, Lord, that you was on my case. And Lord, I want to thank you that in that service that night, January 20th, 1981, Lord, when you gloriously saved me, Lord, you delivered me from the mouth of the lion. And I want to thank you for that today. And Lord, I pray that this morning the message will ring deep in the hearts of people. Lord, as they listen to this message, as they've heard this message today, God, about the two legs and piece of an ear, I ask you today, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will help them to respond and know that there's hope and there's help in the shepherd. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray.